Miss Lynette and I were not here last Sunday because on the 26th we left. Because on December the 30th, we celebrated 59 years together. And she put on our page, and I just said, I can't say it any better than she did. So that's what I put on mine, okay? But this is going to be a great year. You know, it's real interesting. I've been around for 85 years, and 60-some out of that, I've been in the ministry myself. And every year, going all the way back to when I was a kid in church, my dad's church, and then being 6 years with my father-in-law as his associate pastor, everybody's always asking this minister and that minister what word they got. And you know, I found something funny. Nobody gets the same word, but it's the same God. I wonder why. I've been meditating on that this past week. And you know what? I've come to this conclusion. I didn't get it from God or anybody else. This is what I come up with. You know, I think the reason that there are so many different words that different people get is because that's what they need for that year. And if somebody wants to grab a hold of it and take it for themselves, that's all right too. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about this year, I was thinking about flourish in 2025, living the life God designed for you. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, we all know it. From the NIV, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, God desires that we flourish, not just exist. But we need to have a life that is full of purpose and growth. We need to have a life that's impacting those around us. Now let's stop and think for a minute. Flourishing doesn't depend on your circumstances, on your situation. You know what flourishing depends on? It depends on aligning yourself with God's plan. You know, somebody said, well, that's simple to say. Yeah, it is, but sometimes it's harder to do than it is to say. Now, as we look at this, flourishing in 2025, living the life that God has designed, not you, not somebody else that's giving you, well, this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. No, it's the life that God has for you. Now, that doesn't mean that it may not be working at a job and doing ministry of helps in the church. It does. See, every time you say, does God's plan or God's design for your life, everybody immediately goes to the ministry gifts. Well, yeah, that's in some people, but there's a lot of you that are just to be involved in the local church, using your talents for God, and following the plan that He's designed for you. Why do you think that you have talents in certain areas and many of you use those talents in your job? That comes from God. Come on now. You know, as we look at this, living the life that God designed for you, I want to look at what I call six biblical truths. Somebody else might not call them that, but that's what I'm calling them. Six biblical truths to help you flourish in 2025. Look at your neighbor and say, flourishing in 2025. Now, number one, root yourself in God's Word. Root yourself. How many of you have ever planted a tree or some kind of plant? You know what? That tree or plant doesn't survive unless it has deep roots. In fact, the psalmist in Psalms 1, verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Now, I've driven out across the western United States many, many times, driving originally with my dad and then myself on Old Highway 66 that went out. And then I've traveled it whenever they were starting to build the interstate freeways when I was 15. And you know, there's something I noticed. I had noticed this earlier traveling with Dad out in West Texas. But anytime there was a stream or a creek, there would always be, everything else is brown all around it. And on each side of that creek or stream, there would be green foliage and trees. Everything else, there's not a tree in sight until you get to that stream of water. Now, there sits John George back there. He's from West Texas. Have you ever seen that out there, John? It's just like that when it's by the water. You see, a tree planted near water. Actually, thinking about that, I was just as I started to say that tree planted by water, you know, as you fly, and I noticed, I think it was the last time we did a meeting out in Seminole, where we have to land in Hobbs, New Mexico, and then drive over to Seminole. And I noticed when we were coming in for a landing, you look out there, and here is, it's a ranch farm, and everything is brown, and then there's several acres here of green. And you can see that they have an irrigation system. And you drive in the town, and driving there in Seminole, I'm driving into town, and Lynette, and probably Anthony and some of the team members that's been with me out there, you drive down the street, and there, everybody else is lawn. Everybody, it's nothing but dirt. But here's one that has green grass, but you'll notice they have a irrigation system, some type of irrigation, sprinkler or something. If a plant is going to survive and thrive, it has to have deep roots where it can drink of the water that gives it life. You know, thinking about that, God's Word is our spiritual nutriment and nutrition. You know, that tree or that plant draws its nutrition from the water that it pulls in. God's Word is that to us. It actually helps us to go through life's challenges. It helps us to bear fruit. You notice that scripture said that, who yields fruit or will have fruit in season. Now, when I was growing up, there 4th Third Garland, Texas, we had the most ugliest pear tree you've ever seen. It's the only tree in the whole backyard. And it wasn't very big. The trunk was only about that big around. And half of it was gone. I don't know. When we moved in, it was like that. I guess ice had broke off the limbs or something. Anyway, it just had limbs on one side. But that silly thing, it produced prayers like crazy. But you know what? There was a season for the pears on the tree. The rest of the time, it's just standing out there. But you know what it's doing? It's soaking up nutrition, so that at the right time, fruit will appear and grow on that tree. My grandma used to make pear preserves, and then she made a special jar just for me. It was candied pear preserves. I liked them. But then she would take the peelings and boil those and make pear jelly. But you know what? You couldn't do that except in the season. Now, thinking about that, we all go through different seasons in life. We encounter different things. So we need to have a daily Bible reading plan where we're continually drawing nutrients and nutrition from the Word of God that keeps us ready for every season that we're facing. Hello. You know, when the kids were home with us, when they were smaller, we would read some faith food. But as they got older, then we've got the one-year Bible. And we read that every day. And I know my kids, Craig right there, Pastor Craig, Pastor Denise right there, I know they've read the Bible through 5 times because I read it through with them. Men, huh? Was it seven? Okay. They know better than me. I knew it was at least 5. But you know what? In fact, I would suggest, actually, I think it's a great idea because many people, they just open a Bible and they just read this or that. But I would suggest you get one. And they still have those one-year Bibles. I would suggest that you get one because that will make you every day go read the Word of God. Because as you read the Word, and over again, I read that last year. Well, read it again. Well, I read that last year. Well, read it again. Because the more you read it, the more ready you are to face the challenges that you face in life. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to memorize a few scriptures. Now, some people are quicker at memorization than others. I happen to be one that used to be, I could memorize it really easy. But memorize some scripture. And then, you know, there's another thing you can do to help you. You can engage and talk with other people, and you share with one another things that you have been reading in the Word. And you know why I like that? It's because as I read it, I see it in the light of where I'm at and what I'm dealing with. When they read it, they see it in the light of where they're at and their circumstance. But when we share together, we help one another. Hello. You know, now, let me ask you a question. Or let me say it this way. You need to ask yourself this question. That's better phraseology. What can I do to deepen my knowledge of God's Word this year? Now, I've given you some ideas, but you need to ask yourself that question. I believe as you ask yourself that question, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will give you what you need to help you to deepen your roots in the Word of God. Number two, cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Cultivate means you work at it. You just don't, and there sits Tony McKinnon, and he's always talking about the farm because he came off the farm. You just don't look at the field and it gets itself ready. Cultivating gets it ready for the crop. You have to work at it. This didn't happen. Now, I was just 5 years old. Grandpa had the farm, then he moved off the farm and sold the farm. But I remember I stayed with them a lot because Dad traveled all the time preaching somewhere, except for those few years that he did pastor. And I stayed with Grandma and Grandpa. And I remember we was eating breakfast one morning, and he come in and he said, "Well, Savannah," that was my grandmother's name, "guess I better get the cultivator ready because I was checking the weather. And it's time to turn the ground over." So he would get stuff out and he'd go do that. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." It didn't say give thanks for the circumstances, said give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but this is something that I heard, that during World War II, Corrie ten Boom, and many of you may not have read after her, but she was a survivor of the Holocaust from World War II, and she wrote several things that were very good help to people afterwards going through difficult situations. Anybody ever read after? Yeah, a lot of you. Well, it says here that her and her sister Betsy gave thanks even for the fleas in their barracks, only to realize later the fleas is what kept the guards out, allowing them to minister to the prisoners there in the barracks. I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, sometimes people give things, so that's why I'm not saying it was true. I'm saying that I read this and it goes really good with what I'm talking about. Now think about it for a minute. Think about this. Gratitude shifts our focus from the problem to God's provision and faithfulness. See, when you start being thankful for what you have, you get your mind and your focus of off of what you don't have and off of the problem. Now, how in the world, you know, how are you going to develop this attitude of gratitude, cultivate it? Well, one idea I'm thinking about, you might want to create a gratitude journal. And when things are going bad, go back and read this gratitude journal. I know Pastor Lynette, she has a good report file. Now, the reason she started the good report file is because she kept getting all these reports of all these Rhema people that were messing up. And she was crying out to God about it. This was years and years and years and years ago. And so God asked her how many graduates they were at that time. I forgot what they were. And he said, well, how many problems are you in? 10. And she began to realize that she was focusing too much on that. And so every time she's got this good report file, and every time she gets a good report on a Rhema student, she puts it in this file. And if she gets a bad report, she goes and starts reading her good report file. See, that's what you can do. If you create a journal of gratitude, when things are not going good and things are down and out and everything else is going on, go read your gratitude journal, your thankful journal. You can call it the thankful journal or the thankful notebook, whatever. Just have it there. Grab it and read it. You know, another thing you can do with the family is to encourage the family by sharing thankful moments when you're at the dinner table or when you're sitting around talking with one another. You know, sharing gratitude, it seems to give life. But whenever you're always grumbling and complaining, it seems to give death. You know, another thing that you could do to cultivate a life of gratitude is to write thank you notes to people that have impacted your life. You know, many people found out about our celebration of our 59 years, and we've gotten so many good cards that of people thanking us, and they're congratulating us, they're thanking us for our, and I have trouble saying this because I don't like to pin roses on myself, but thanking us for being examples of, and so forth and so on. I think you know what I'm talking about. Those thank you notes, those that we have received from different ones, they meant a lot to me. And over the years, I have personally thanked people that have impacted me in some way. And I never got the opportunity to, that Sunday school teacher that many of you have heard me talk about, Brother Turner, when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, he impacted many young boys' lives. He would go out and pick up kids. Today you might have, but he would go and if he'd see kids on the street, he worked at the Ford Manufacturing Company in Dallas, which is not there anymore, and he always had a station wagon. And he'd take his family to church, and then he would go out and he'd knock on a door and ask them if their kids go to church. And I went to his, made a special effort to go back to the home church and go to his memorial service. And my wife is there and will tell you, that church was full of men in business suits because of the impact that Kenneth Turner had in their lives. You know, you need to thank people that have impacted your life. You need to learn to live a lifestyle of gratitude. Say thank you to everyone that does something. You know, I believe it was yesterday, or I was over at my sink and she was over her place, over her area, sink and area. I opened the drawer. I need a tube of toothpaste. Well, I knew she had it in the cabinet up over there, but she was there and I didn't want to disturb her, so I started doing something else, and then the next thing I know, she turned and said, "Here," and she handed me the tube of toothpaste. Well, that's my wife. But you know what? I responded immediately, "Thank you." You see, when you create a lifestyle of gratitude, you thank everything. And this morning we're getting ready to leave, and I'd already done my coffee and everything, and I saw that she was taking care of something else, and so I just grabbed her coffee. It's one of those faith mugs. We got them out there in the bookstore. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, two or three of you been in the bookstore, I guess. Hey, the rest of you, go in that place out there. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. Anyway, I just fixed her coffee and took it over and set it down. And then I walked on out, going out to take stuff to the car, and she said, "Thank you." You see, when you have learned to live the lifestyle of gratitude, you say thank you to the waiter and the waitress. You even say thank you to the maitre d' or whoever it is that seats you at your table. Hello. It doesn't take very much to say thank you. Now, let me pose another question for you. In fact, I'm going to pose a question for you every one of these. So you get ready for it. What specific blessing can you thank God for today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day? Every day, thank God for some blessing that He has given to you. Now, number three, step out in faith. Step out in faith. Matthew 14:29. This is, "Come," He said, that's Jesus talking. "Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus." Now look at this. Peter took a step of faith, stepping out of that boat on the water, defying all logic, not wondering, can I do this or not? Peter said, "Jesus, if it's you, let me come." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter, without even thinking, stepped out. Logically? No, that's illogically. But he took a step of faith. Everybody wants to zero in Well, he started to sink. Well, he did, because he started doubting. But I want to throw this at you. His step of faith allowed him to do the miraculous. Now, I'm not telling you to do something illogically just because you want to do it. But if you actually have the faith to believe God for something, then take the step of faith and do it. Hello? I've told you this story before, but it comes in right here. It did not make any sense. When I'm sitting right over there in that office, in my office, at my conference table, with two bankers talking about a loan situation, and I had told them what I wanted. It just so happens that I have a brother-in-law that's the president of Inwood Bank Shares in Dallas. I think they got six. Last I heard, they had 16 banks. Anyway, he gives me all these things to say that, it blew these bankers' minds, because they're sitting there talking to one another now. Because, man, how's this preacher know about this stuff? So they're talking, and I hear on the inside of me, go over your desk. Start signing those letters. I had a stack of letters that needed to be signed. Now, that's illogical. You don't leave a conference table when you're talking with them about a loan situation. But I did it. You know? I'm sitting over there and they're talking. Finally, this one banker that my banker had brought in, he had heard what I wanted to do, how I wanted this loan put together. And he turned around to me and he said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I just looked at him and I said, "You heard what I want. Take it or leave it." He was the last straw. I had already talked to everyone. There was no other one. That was it. All of that did seem illogical, but I knew what the word was coming to me through the Holy Spirit, and I said that. He looked at me sort of strange, and then he looked at me and said, "Get back over here. We'll do it." Now, I want to tell you what, that was risky. But you see, when you know that it's God, then take the step of faith. You know, thriving in 25 requires you to trust God and move on, even when you're uncertain of how the outcome is going to be. But I'll tell you this, if God was in it and you took the step of faith, the outcome will be beneficial. Hello? You know, you might have to pray for boldness to act. You know, something else that you can do is to step out in faith and go to a person and mend a broken relationship. And then another thing you need to learn to do is to share the testimonies of your stepping out in faith so it can inspire and help others. Okay? That brings me to the question. What is God calling you to take a leap or a step of faith to do in 2025? The fourth principle, I believe, that helps us to flourish in 2025 is to build the community, and serve others. Now, a scripture I want to read with that is Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, when I'm talking about community, I'm talking about the church community, and I'm talking about the community that you live in. Any of you ever participated in what they call a three-legged race, where they put two of you together and they tie these two legs together, and then you got these out here? Have you ever noticed that you have to be in sync in order to get anywhere? Together, you can win that race. Each one trying to do his own thing, you're going to fall. You know, when we think about it for a minute, think about the church community. It provides encouragement, accountability, and opportunities to serve in the church. Well, how can that be done? Well, one thing you can do, you can join one of the link teams that we have. A small group of people that get together around something that they like. I think we have a quilting one. We have a golf one. I think we did have fishing and hunting. Just look in your bulletin. There's all kinds of places there. Another thing you can do is get involved in the helps ministry in the church in an area that you feel that you would fit into. In the community outside where you live, you might get involved in a cause that's helping your neighborhood, like a neighborhood cleanup or some other thing that they do. I'm driving down the road, it's been months back now, back in the fall, was, nice sunny afternoon, and I saw a sign, and it said, community yard sale. Well, the people in the community, that area, they'd got together and they'd had all their stuff. Instead of a garage sale, they called it a yard sale, and they had all their stuff involved out there, and that was community. In the areas that people live, they have what HOV, is that what they call them? I think it is, huh? HOA. That's it. Thank you. It's everybody in that neighborhood gets together. It's homeowners association. Any of you member in place have where they have that? Yeah. Well, if you want to help your community, get involved. See. And I've noticed that in some incidents, only a very few people get involved, and then people gripe because things is not taking place in the community they think ought to be taking place. Well, if you're not going to get involved, shut your mouth. Another thing you can do in building community and serving others is to be intentionally involved in checking on friends and family. I've said this several times from this pulpit, but most of you sit in the same area every time you come to service. Maybe not on the same pew. Some of you on the same pew. But how many of you sit basically in the same area of the church every time you come to church? Yeah, that's 90% of you. You know what? If you've noticed somebody that hasn't been there two or three Sundays in a row, it might be a good idea to check on them. Now I get to my question. I told you I was going to get one question at you every time. I hope you're writing them down. You might ask yourself, how can I invest in a meaningful relationship this year? Now, number five, and I got to hurry. Rest in God's presence. Matthew 11:28, we all know it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Now, you know, how many of you have what they call a smartphone? Now, I had a phone before this. I guess it was a dumb phone. We just called it a phone. Hello? How many of you first remember I had one. It was a bag phone. That's one of the first ones that come out. Anybody, a few of you old enough to remember that. And it's just graduated on. But now, how many of you got one of these called a smartphone? It's okay. I'm going to let you get on it right now. And I want you to go, and I want you to check how much power you got left. Mine says I got 88%. That means I've already used up 20-some-odd% of my power. Take just a moment. That's crazy. Siri just said back to me, "Sorry, I don't understand." Oh. See, you need to check your spiritual condition all the time. Because as we live life and we face all of the things in life, we're gradually losing power. You see, that's what this, and this thing has to be plugged in and recharged, or it's not going to do me any good. Well, you see, we need to take a time that we recharge and renew our spirits. Without resting, you burn out and you lose sight of the purpose. I know my dad, my father-in-law, the two men that I stand on their shoulders, Kenneth E. Hagin and V.E. Tipton, without them, I wouldn't be here today. Both of them said, they said to me, son, there comes a time, even in ministry, that you got to pull back and just do nothing but don't think about any work, don't think about the ministry. Just read and worship God and bask in His presence. And as you do, you will recharge yourself. But what so many people do, they take time and they pull back, but they continually think about the ministry out here and they never fully recharge. You see, resting in God will cause you to flourish. Take time to schedule just a time that you don't think about anything. Everybody will do it differently. I like to do it this way. I like to listen at my music that I listen to. I listen to it in the car when I'm driving a lot of times. I like to listen to that. I've got a playlist right here, and I got a Happy Goodman that I go listen to. I got my friend Johnny Hayes that I was in Bible college with. He has an album. I've got it on there. The New Hensons has got one, and I especially like one song called Oasis. But you see, that is what I do. I'll do that in the car. We just drove to Branson, drove back. About 90%, now I might try to listen to something else, but about 90% of the time, Lynette, I tell you, I had on my playlist playing it. Because you see, that's the way I do it. Now I take time and I read, and I got certain scriptures I like to read every day. And then I especially read that in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3 there about Paul talking. I read those just about every day. But you see, I'm telling you what I do to recharge and renew my spirit. You're going to have to figure out how you do it. But what I am and telling you is that you need to do that. And oh, I'm taking more time than I thought I would. I'm sorry. But I'm going to finish anyway. Is that all right? Now, I'm going to give you a few ideas of how you, one way you can honor and bask in the presence of God is coming here to the house of worship and begin to worship and be in His presence. I'm going to give you a hard one. Say no, learn how to say no to commitments that are draining you and prevent you from spiritual renewal. That's easier said than done. My question for you is, are you prioritizing time to rest in the presence of God? If not, then make sure that you make this a priority. Number six, the last one, walk in obedience to God's calling. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Any of you ever flown a kite? Did you notice that you have a string and you have to use that string to help get that kite to fly? And if it starts down, you use the string to ride it and get it back, right? Huh? How many of you have never flown a kite? I'm sorry. It's fun. Down in Texas, on a nice windy March day, sun shining bright. Man, you can fly a kite high if you've got enough string. You know what? The string to us represents God's commands that keeps us aligned so that we can soar high. You see, obedience is your pathway to flourishing in 2025. It's not about perfection, but a heart surrendered to the will of God. You know, what areas maybe God is prompting you to align yourself and get straightened out this year? Finances, relationships, habits. I'm not talking about bad habits. I'm talking about habits that may not be so good for you. And there are a lot more things I could add. But if anything that God is dealing with you about, and you have conviction in your heart, I would immediately correct that and trust Him. Another thing you can do to help you to walk in obedience is to surround yourself with people or partners that will hold you accountable and encourage you to obey. Now, real quick, because it's already 11:30, I'm supposed to be through, but I'm going over anyway. My question: what step of obedience is God asking you to take in 2025? Only you can answer that. Real quick, let's recap. Root yourself in God's Word, cultivate gratitude, step out in faith, build community, rest in God's presence, walk in obedience. I want to leave this scripture with you. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it to its completion until the day of Jesus Christ. My challenge on this Sunday is write down one specific action for each of these principles that you can do every day of the year. And I think you'll find that you'll flourish in 2025 as God leads you and directs you. You will see that what you are doing is working for you. You will see increase in every area of your life. As you follow me, I will guide you, and you will soar to heights that you've never thought. And as you rest in my presence, I will give you direction. And you'll find that it will be so sublime as you walk out your plan that I have for you. And at the end, you can shout with victory and say, I did thrive in 25. Hallelujah. Now, none of that is written down in here. The Spirit of God came on me and started giving me that, so I just spoke it out to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. I'm going to pray a prayer for everyone. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your power and your Holy Spirit that will come to each of us. And cause us to live abundantly in your presence. Cause us to align our lives with your purposes and your will for us in this year and every year. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. For just a moment, if you happen to be in this place, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to invite you to know him so you can flourish in 2025. If you happen to know what it is to know Christ, but you sort of made a misstep and got off course and detoured, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God, anybody on any one of those invitations right now, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that unless I know who you are. So if you wouldn't mind, upstairs, downstairs, if that's you, raise a hand so I can pray with you and for you so you will never be the same again after this day. Anybody anywhere in this room, I'm looking. Have another invitation. You say, I know what it is to be born again and born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. According to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, on this first Sunday of 2025, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody in the room, raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I see no hands. If anybody in this room needs to receive you as their Lord and Savior, I thank you that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they will not be comfortable doing anything until they stop and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.